You mean you have to turn this on? Oh, boy. Yeah, that does sound different, doesn't it? Okay, everybody, now you can hear me back there in the fellowship hall. Come on out and join us. A couple of quick announcements here as we get the service started. First of all, the Sunshine Room. This coming Monday, which is tomorrow, if you have some free time between 11 and 1, come on over and help set up. They need a lot of help setting up to get ready for Tuesday. Tables, things to organize. So let me encourage you, if you can, to show up tomorrow, noonish. Would that be good, noonish? Probably 11. There's a lot to set up. People have been so generous. There is stuff everywhere. The vault is full, the Sunshine Room. People have donated paper goods. So praise God. We have a lot of nice things that have been donated, but we need to set them out and get them ready for the people on Tuesday. That whole ministry is growing. Praise God for that. A couple of important dates coming up here in December. The 21st, there's a rehearsal for the children's program on the 22nd. So that's at 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock. What? Yes. Yes. You need to turn your mic on. The 21st at 10. Then the 22nd, remember, that's our hot chocolate and cookie Sunday. We're going to listen to the message, drinking chocolate and eating cookies. And also the children are going to have a program to start the service off. So we'll include them with some music. And then the 24th is Christmas Eve. And that service starts at 5:30 Christmas Eve. We have a special Christmas Eve service scheduled December 24th, beginning at 5:30. So everyone, please stand and let's worship the Lord together.
Light of the world.
This time we're going to dismiss the children for Children's Church. one announcement that I failed to make, and that is for the New Day Women's Center. The washer and dryer situation has resolved itself. Praise God for that. But the refrigerator freezer combo has not. So just keep in mind, if you know of where we can get a fridge freezer combo, please let us know. They're in desperate need of one there at the New Day Women's Center. So I'd encourage you to just see Angela, Roman, or myself, and we'll make sure that they get it. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, this week has gone by like really fast. Just Zoom and it's past and it's gone, and Sunday is upon us and so much has gone on. Our minds are going here and there. But I pray, O God, that as we come together and sing praises to you and hear your word preach, God, that you would help us to focus these next few minutes on you and the message that you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our series on rethinking how we think. And this time we're going to talk about rethinking how we think about Christmas. What Christmas is and what Christmas is not. If there ever was a need to rethink how we think about something, Christmas has to be on top of the list. Fact and fiction are interwoven into just a web of confusion regarding what this holiday is all about. I ask myself sometimes, is it even possible to separate the two in our thinking, fact from fiction? Now, many of us have enjoyed, this may date some of us, but many of us have enjoyed watching Bob Ross take an empty canvas on his instructional TV series, The Joy of Painting, and with his broad strokes of his brush, he was so gifted at this. He had such a wide brush. He just would make these beautiful scenes. I always wanted to be able to do that, but I never lacked the skill. But I lacked the skill. In fact, the best I could do was paint by numbers. You ever tried that? I've painted a lot of paint. I just love painting, but I never had the ability to paint like he did, and I watched him a lot. So we're getting into the Christmas season now that Thanksgiving is behind us. And if there was ever a need to start out with a blank canvas like Bob Ross did about a holiday that we celebrate annually, Christmas is it. There is so much about how we go about celebrating Christmas that I wish were just not a part of it. Now, the world has taken a very, very special event, the birth of Jesus, and overlaid this great holiday with unending commercialization. Profit margins have become more important than the person, Jesus. In the process, the person, Jesus, has been pushed to the side this holiday season, and profits have become paramount. They become the most important. The two have become so intertwined that it is hard to enter the Christmas season with our minds free from all the clutter of fantasy and commercialization. The success of Christmas now is not based on the number of souls saved, but at the end of Christmas, it's based on how many billions of dollars have been spent. Can you imagine how the credit cards have just get overwhelmed during this holiday season with spending, spending, spending? And that seems to be the focus. It's so hard to undo what has already been burned into our memories. Therein is the problem. How can we start out this season with a blank canvas? As though this is our first Christmas. As though we were children and this is our very first Christmas. How can we start out with a blank canvas? In reality, none of us can. So what's the solution to our problem? Some try to solve the problem by refusing to celebrate Christmas altogether. They just bah humbug it. And I get that. Some try to solve the problem by refusing to decorate trees and exchange gifts. And I get that. what the world has done in turning something so monumental, the birth of our Savior, into a fantasy for millions is reprehensible. When painting, an artist cannot undo what has already been painted. Like they have this magic eraser and the paint is on the canvas and it's dry. They can't erase it. It's there. It's permanent. The best the artist can do is correct his mistakes by painting over them. No matter what the canvas of Christmas you have before you and what it looks like today, no matter what it has looked like for you in the past, let's start this Christmas season out by painting a new scene over the old canvas that we have. We need to rethink how we think about Christmas. That's the solution to the problem, rethinking what the focus of Christmas is all about. So we've taken our paintbrushes and we've painted over what was before us. And we're now ready to begin a realistic painting of what the first Christmas may have looked like. I thought, well, what would the first Christmas have looked like if we were there? And it may not actually be the painting you're thinking about, because we often think about the baby Jesus, and he's important. But in one corner of the canvas, I would paint a slave being beaten by his master. In another corner, I would paint the scene of thousands of people watching and cheering gladiators kill each other in the arena for sport. In another corner, I would paint the worship of idols. And in the fourth corner, I would paint a scene of unending religious rituals. You might be saying, well, that's a rather depressing way to start painting a new and different Christmas scene. I get that. Those are disturbing images on our new canvas. One that just repulses us. I get that. You might be saying that it is rather a depressing way to start rethinking how we think about Christmas. Isn't Christmas supposed to be filled with love, joy, peace, hope, and true happiness? Isn't that what Christmas is all about? You see, if there was no slavery, no oppression, no social injustice, no meaningless religion in the world, there would never have been the need for Jesus to be born. The truth is this. Jesus was willing to be born into a world filled with all forms of evil so mankind could find hope, love, joy, peace, hope, and true happiness in him. The solution is focusing on Jesus and not the trappings of Christmas. This is what the Bible says about why Jesus needed to be born in the first place. Let's listen in as an angel speaks to Joseph about the birth of Jesus. And this is what the angel said. So we're going to listen in. She will give birth to a son. It's going to be a boy. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Yeshua, Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. Rethinking how we think about Christmas needs to begin with a clear understanding of why Jesus had to come to earth in the first place. He came to save people from their sins. Pure and simple. That's why he came. Countless miracles obviously surrounded the birth of Jesus. There was the divine insemination, so to speak, where a virgin gave birth one time in history to this young boy. Angels spoke to Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. There were signs in the sky. Wise men brought gifts to Jesus. That's all spectacular and really speaks to the momentous occasion of the birth of Jesus. But that's not what it's about. We're going to talk about those scenes of spectacular miracles later on over the next couple of messages. And the final touches to the canvas that I'm going to be painting will be completed on Christmas Eve. So that's where we're going to complete the picture, the painting of Christmas. It's going to look different than how we began, for sure. However, the reason Jesus came to this earth is to save people from their sins. That and that alone is worth celebrating. So as we celebrate Christmas, let us be sure to celebrate the purpose that Jesus came into this earth, and that is to save people from their sins. Jesus has broken the power of sin in the lives of all who place their faith in him. Christmas exists. The reason we're celebrating Christmas exists because sin exists. If there was no sin, there would have been no need for Jesus to be born. The fact that Jesus was born is proof positive. We need someone to rescue us, someone to save us from our sins. Secondly, rethinking how we think about Christmas requires us to ask ourselves a couple of really basic questions. And I think we need to ask ourselves these questions. Should we even be talking about painting a Christmas scene? Is celebrating Christmas wrong? Is it okay to celebrate Christmas? Where do facts begin and where do facts end and fantasies begin? Where does this all fit together? The holiday Christmas, it's interesting, is mentioned nowhere in the Old Testament. In fact, the holiday as such is not even mentioned at all in the New Testament. So we often ask ourselves, what would Jesus do if he were in my shoes? If Jesus were here today, what would he do? Would he celebrate Christmas if he was one of us? What would he do? Let's see how Jesus handled holidays that are not mentioned in the Old Testament. Jesus attended the festival or the holiday called Hanukkah. We're going to be hearing a lot about Hanukkah. It's coming up. It's a Jewish holiday. It starts on December 25th, the day that we celebrate Christmas. Nowhere is that festival mentioned as a holy holiday in the Old Testament, yet Jesus took part in Hanukkah. It's an eight-day festival. It begins December 25th, and it celebrates, if you're wondering, when you hear the word Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah all about? It's not about the birth of Jesus. Hanukkah is about celebrating the rededication of the temple after the Syrians had desecrated the temple. And so it was rededicated, and Hanukkah, or also called the Festival of Lights, celebrates the rededication of the temple after the Syrians had desecrated it. Okay. John 10:22-24 says this. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." John 10:22-24. Not only did Jesus attend the holiday festival called Hanukkah, but he actually gave it credibility by using it as a time of teaching the Jews about the purpose. Why did he come? He used it to teach the purpose of his coming to earth. Jesus says, "I came to do one thing. I came to do the will of my Father." Jesus used an extra biblical holiday, nowhere recorded, to teach others about God's will. So, guess what, friends? We get to do the same during the Christmas season. Romans 10, verses 5 to 6 adds this explanation to help us further understand the freedom that we have in Christ to celebrate or not to celebrate Christmas. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. So here's the bottom line. If you want to celebrate Christmas, great. But if we do, it needs to be about Jesus and not the fantasies that are surrounding Christmas. If you do not want to celebrate Christmas, great. If you want to celebrate it on December 25th, great. If you want to celebrate it on January 7th, which some do, great. On non-essential issues like celebrating Christmas or the date we celebrate it, the Apostle Paul says we have the freedom to celebrate or not to celebrate Christmas on December 25th, January 7th, or any other day for that matter. So there's no way to know. We often say we celebrate Christmas. Christmas Eve is the 24th. Christmas Day is the 25th, right? We celebrate here in our area Christmas on December 25th. But there's no way of knowing. We know it, that Jesus was born on December 25th. We get that. In all likelihood, Jesus was probably not born on December 25th. But Does that make celebrating Christmas on December 25th wrong? Is it wrong to celebrate Christmas on December 25th? And I say no, and here's why. It comes from my adopted daughter Sholay. Now, our adopted daughter Sholay, there she is, about a year and a half old, maybe 2 years old. She was actually holding a snake. I didn't put that out there. I cut that off. I didn't think that, you know, you'd want to see that part. Oh, she just loved animals. She does to this day. But she was abandoned in a gunny sack alongside a river and left to die, just being a few months old. She was 6 months old, roughly, and she still couldn't even sit up, okay? She would have died were it not for some policeman who heard her cries in that gunny sack and picked her up and took her to the orphanage. We know about how old Sholay was, but we had no idea when her actual birthday was. And this is interesting. Sholay needed a birth certificate, and to have a birth certificate, guess what you need? A date of birth, right? You need a date of birth to have a birth certificate. So how are we going to solve that problem? So what we did is we picked her birthday. We got to choose her day of birth, and we picked March 21st, the first day of spring. Now, guess what we do? We celebrate her birthday every March 21st, even though we know that's not the exact date she was born on. You see, the exact date for us is unimportant. What is important is that she was born, and we have her. And we celebrate her birthday every year on the date we chose, March 21st. So let's not major on the minor issues of exact dates. Instead, let's major on the most profound event in the history of mankind. Jesus was born of a virgin and came to save people from their sins. As we rethink how we think about Christmas, we all agree we need to figure out a way to untangle fact from fantasy. We need to figure out a way to untangle commercialization from facts. How we think about Christmas has eternal consequences. If the scene we have painted in our minds is a brightly colored Christmas tree with colorful wrapped presents under it, with our name on them, that can take us down a path of maybe mingling fact with fantasy. Now, I have no issues, and I have no issues with exchanging gifts at Christmas. We do it. I do it. But the focus should not be on us and our gratification. The focus needs to be on the greatest gift that the world has ever received, Jesus Christ. And let's make this Christmas season all about Him and why He came. In the scene we have painted in our minds, if the scene we have painted in our minds is a young woman caring for a newborn baby who will one day die on the cross for our sins, that will take us down another path. And that's the path that really God wants to take us down this holiday season. It's all about Jesus. And how we think about Christmas has eternal consequences. Now, it's so easy to misunderstand the purpose of something. Now, I heard this story. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but hey, it's a story, right? And it'll communicate a point. So a man had a friend, and this friend had a drinking problem, pretty severe drinking problem. He abused alcohol. And so his friend was really concerned that something bad might happen to his friend because of all that he was drinking. So after work, he knew that his friend always stopped by the local bar. And so this man's friend showed up at the bar, and sure enough, there was his friend bellied up to the bar drinking. So this man sat down next to him. His friend sat down next to him. And he called the bartender to come over, and he says, "Put two shot glasses in front of him. And I want you to fill one of the shot glasses with water and the other shot glass with whiskey." And the bartender sort of looked, and he said, "Just do it." So he did it. And so once the shot glasses were filled, the man reached in his pocket and pulled out a tin. And in that tin were two night crawlers. And so he took out one night crawler and he put it in the shot glass of water, and the old night crawler was swimming around and having a merry old time. Then he took out the second night crawler and he put it in the shot glass of whiskey. And guess what happened? The night crawler went belly up. It died instantly. So then he looked at his friend. Now we get the point. So he looked at his friend and he said, "Do you get the point?" And his friend says, "Yes, I get the point." He says, "Now, do you really get the point?" And the guy says, "Yes, I really get the point. Do you think I'm an idiot? I get it." So his friend says, "Well, tell me, just so I can make sure that you get the point." So he says, "What's the point?" And his friend said, "Well, the point is that a man who drinks excessively will never have worms." I think that's a little bad, but... but he missed the point, right? The point was so obvious. It was right there in front of them the whole time. It was right there. The night crawler died, but he missed it. Friends, how many people miss the point of Christmas, which is right before our eyes? It's right there, but the glitter, the commercialization has so clouded the meaning of Christmas that millions of people on this earth don't even know what Christmas is about. They've missed the point. Many people miss the point of why we celebrate Christmas. Many people see Christmas as a time where they get paid off, get paid for time off, where they don't have to work. They see it as a time to get and give gifts as an end in itself. They miss the point of Christmas, even though it's right there in front of them. The greatest gift that was ever given to mankind. The gift of Jesus. Despite so many missing the point of what Christmas is about, I refuse to let the world keep me from celebrating one of the greatest moments in the history of the world, the virgin birth of Jesus. Christmas is a time when we get to tell a story about Jesus and why he came into this world to tens of thousands of people who would never come to a church service any other day. People come to church on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the Christmas season, that would never come to church any other time. So we get to tell the story of Christmas. Christmas is a time where tens, and literally around the world, tens of thousands of people every year are swept into the kingdom of God. They're born again on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, because of the story of Christmas. And what's there not to like about thousands of people being born again and swept into the kingdom of God through the story, the marvelous story of Jesus coming to this earth? Now, each of our lives is a story that could be told, or a book could be written. I know some people here are wanting to write books about their lives, and I encourage them to do it. We probably have shared parts of our story with some people. Other parts of our story we've only shared with our most trusted friends. Our story is filled with choices. Some of those choices we wish that we would have never made. Our story is filled with choices that were wise, and we wish that all of our choices would have been so wise. But that's not the case. But here's an amazing truth about Christmas, and we need to remember it. Jesus knows our whole story. He knows your whole story. In fact, he knows the rest of the story of our lives that is yet hidden from us. He knows it the end from the beginning. Here's an even more amazing truth. Jesus knows our whole story, beginning to end, and he still loves us. This Christmas season, my prayer is that each of us would be filled with the joy and peace of knowing that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. When you think of Christmas, think of the love of Jesus towards you. Because it took that love to do the will of the Father to come and to be born in a world like ours. He loves you not because you're good or because you always make the wisest choices in your life. He loves you and me because He chooses to love us just as we are. He came into this world where masters were beating their slaves. Thousands were watching and cheering gladiators kill each other. Idols were being worshipped, and religion had replaced repentance. He came into such a world because He chose to love this world. That's why Jesus came. He so loved the world that He came. He so loves you and me. He came just as we are. We don't have to be perfect for Jesus to love us. Rethinking how we think about Christmas begins with understanding Jesus came to save us from our sins. Celebrating that part of Christmas, we will never, ever go wrong. Celebrating Christmas and celebrating this Christmas season, my prayer is that it would be filled with love, joy, peace, hope, and true happiness. I'm going to close the message with Mark chapter 5. Just listen to this. Go home to your own people. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. The solution to the problem of separating fact from fiction, fact from fantasy, is focusing on Jesus, understanding why He came in the first place. Fix your eyes on Jesus this Christmas season. Understand He loves you. Understand He came to save us from our sins. He came so that this world that was headed totally in the opposite direction might find peace in Him. When you go home, tell them what Christmas means to you. And I'd encourage you, this is a great time of the year to invite your friends to be a part of the Christmas season. We're going to continue to develop this canvas. We're going to begin next week. We're actually going to continue next week and talk more about Jesus, the baby. But He's more than a baby. And that's going to be the focus next Sunday. Jesus, more than a baby. Let's pray. Father, as we begin this holiday season, this time of celebrating Christmas, oh God, help us to focus not on the tinsel and the lights, though those are a part. We understand Jesus was the light of the world, and it can point us to Jesus. But help us to understand the reason behind these issues, what we see. And God, help us to know, above all, the love of Jesus and why He came to this earth in the first place. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand.
Just to go back over some of the things Pastor Paul just spoke about. First song that we did, Count Your Blessings. I mean, that to me is something, I don't know about you, but I really need to get better at. You know, because I grew up in a very negative environment. You know, my father was pretty negative. My friends, you know, it was just being negative just to be fun, I guess, sometimes. So to switch that perspective to being positive and thinking about all the things you're blessed with, It's kind of hard, even though there's so many. I have so many, you know. Like, we just recently moved, and all I knew was it just was not fun, you know. Everybody knows that, but we just moved. We have a great house, you know. That's a huge blessing. And there's so many more I could go on, but obviously I won't. But count your blessings is very important. And the song we're going to do right now is, Pastor Pro is already talking about it. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He gave Him to us, a present to the world. And then 30 years later, He gave His life for us, another present. Two greatest gifts right there. So I just want you to think about that as you listen to this song. and understand what we're celebrating this year.
Think of love as an emotion, right? You know, like we feel love. And there's a to that, I get that. But love is far more than an emotion. Love is a choice we make, right? Each and every one of us either choose to love or choose not to love. And love is all about giving and serving and being there, and doing what is necessary. And that's exactly when God said, God so loved the world that he gave. He did what was necessary so that we can have life. This Christmas season, let's wrap our minds around these truths. Yes, we exchange gifts because we've received gifts. We exchange, I get all of that, and that's not bad. But let's, this Christmas season, take it to another level. The level of just thanking God for the unspeakable gift that he has given to us. Father, we bow before you. We don't deserve that kind of love. There's nothing in me. There's nothing in this church. There's nothing in us that in and of itself says, hey, we deserve to be loved. Because we'd have been in that stadium watching those gladiators. We'd have been doing something that was not what you would want us to be doing. But you came to a world like that. You came and met us when we were yet sinners, and you died for us, and you reached out to us, and you brought the message into our lives and personalized it so that we believed in you and placed our faith in you and found life and power over sin. So God, I pray that as we leave here, we might go home and tell others about all that you have done for us and are doing in our lives and in this church. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless. Have a great, great day and enjoy. There's coffee and donuts in the fellowship hall. And thank you for coming, being a part of it.